Hey, do you ever wonder what the outdoor guys are doing the rest of the week? Well, we hang our hat at Jesse Brown's, and you can keep up by following us on Instagram and Facebook, Jesse Brown's CLT, to see pictures and happenings, not just at Jesse Brown's, but all of the adventures that surround the outdoor guys at Jesse Brown's. So give us a follow or a like at Instagram or Facebook, Jesse Brown's CLT.
All right, welcome back to the Carolina Outdoors. Lots of stuff going on with the post-hurricane show here.
That's right. The Carolina Outdoors is covering the post-hurricane thing. And, Don, we can probably follow the path of Dorian a little bit. But I wanted to talk to you about, and I don't want to make light of it, but we remember last year, of course, Wilmington, the great fishery that they have there and all that the rains that they got. And, of course, the Bahamas for us at Jesse Brown's is a great fly fishing destination. So many people go there. Do you have insight on how long it takes for an estuary or a flats to heal up a little bit after getting pummeled with rain and wind?
Well, I'd say Mother Nature does a better job of that than the humans do of putting the homes back together, especially in the Bahamas. Building materials, very, very expensive. There's like 100% import tariff and things. It's ridiculous what those people go through to maintain their homes and all. And after something like this, they're totally without any supplies of any kind. So Mother Nature heals up the flats and things, but the infrastructure, the little airports, things of that type, it takes a while to get those back into operation, that's for sure. And I honestly don't know how people survive somewhere like Marsh Harbor with the pictures we saw of that, their boats destroyed. I mean, that's their livelihood. I mean, there's two jobs there. One, you can be a fishing guide. Number two, you can work in the hospitality industry. And boy, I tell you what, those people are on the ropes.
That's right. It surprised me. I can remember talking last year, Wilmington, not the same, but just the same in that they both got pummeled by storms. But the fishing guides whose boats still were staying strong were back out in Edom within the week, it seemed like.
So, well, and the fishing can be quite good after a storm. I mean, it's just like flooding in the mountains, it just freshens everything up in a stream. So not to make light of it, but it can sometimes be good for that part of the industry.
Well,
if you still have a boat that floats.
Yeah, that is key, is having that boat that floats. And of course,
I mean, look at Forrest Gump.
Hey, it kicked him off pretty well.
That's right.
It made him a millionaire.
There you go.
Or however it goes. Don, every time these storms come through, it makes me think about the names of them. And I guess we're both old enough to remember. Do you remember when storms were all female named?
Absolutely. Hurricanes, not hemicanes.
And I guess these are bad things to say now. Well, how times have changed.
You know, the funny thing about hurricanes is nobody remembers one that doesn't absolutely destroy everything. I mean, Dorian. Name the storm before Dorian.
I can't do it.
No idea. No clue. We know it's alphabetical, but, you know, if the storm doesn't amount to anything, it's lost to history.
Well, I learned through, and in fact, Haley Fowler wrote for McClatchy a little article about untangling the weird history of hurricane names, and here are the ones that came before Dorian is Andrea, Barry, and Chantal. They all did come before
there
Dorian.
You go. Wouldn't have known any of those.
Humberto and Karen have yet to be seen, but those are the ones that are upcoming on the next ones. And that is the World Meteorological Organization to sign the motley crew of names, she writes, to the tropical cyclones of 2019. So those are the ones that we're going to have coming up.
What happens if you have more than 26 hurricanes?
I bet they recycle. I don't know.
Just start over? Or do they double name them? Aaron Andrew has been spotted off the coast of Cuba.
So many people may remember that it was, and this is written in the article, that, and I can remember my female teacher in, I guess, elementary school talking about, just as you said at the opening of the segment, hurricanes, Here I go. These are quotes, not my words, but you can always remember it's a hurricane because women are unpredictable, and so are hurricanes. You don't know if they're going east, west, north, or south.
That was Bill Bartee that just said that on the radio, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not going to throw my teachers. Everybody's dropping away. But because women deeply resented being associated with disaster, in 1978, the U.S. government relented. That was the first year that both men's and women's names were on the Eastern North Pacific Storm List, and that's according to the National Hurricane Center.
What year was that?
That was 1978. Of course, they do talk about gender bias continues to persist, but at the time, before 1978, all of meteorologists, it seemed, and weather people were referring to hurricanes with gender-specific, inappropriate gender-specific sayings like she's flirting with the coast of the Carolinas or that sort of thing.
She changed her mind and went a different direction.
That's right.
So why are hurricanes in the Pacific Ocean called typhoons?
That didn't make the article, so I cannot give the answer. I think I do know the answer, though. It just happens to be cultural. I mean, it's just a different part of the world, even though it's out there. So it's the same as a hurricane. They're just called typhoons.
Do typhoons get names?
They do.
Oh.
They
same,
do.
Same deal? Same alternating men's and women's? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I have never tracked a typhoon.
It may be. The World Meteorological Organization is assigning them. So maybe it is. But anyway, that's insight on the Carolina outdoors. I hope I didn't get in too much trouble right there.
Oh, just, you're in deep doo-doo, buddy.
I'm just reminiscing from my childhood,
so
to speak. Hey, Don, we've talked earlier in the program about Storytellers Night at Jesse Brown, September 19th. Come hear a neighbor's adventure, three 20-minute stories. After that, on September 28th, we're going to be the host of Healing Saturday. The Project Healing Waters gang is going to be coming into Jesse Brown's to celebrate our Armed Forces veterans, those that have served, and also celebrate the sport of fly fishing.
So when is that going to be?
It's going to be September 28th. That's a Saturday, hence the Healing Saturday part. From 10 till 5 p.m., they're going to be casting, fly tying, prizes, giveaways, and everyone's welcome to come on out to Jesse Brown's for that September 28th event, Healing Saturday. The other thing that's going on in the Carolinas, of course, is dove season has kicked off. It kicked off Monday, September 2nd, and it is up and flying well, so to speak.
Got some good reports.
Good reports. If you're listening via the airwaves of WBT Radio, this is the first Saturday of dove season today.
And the good news is it pushed a lot of birds this way.
That's right. Well, in the aftermath of a storm, hopefully people are getting out there and enjoying a little bit of the bird hunting and such as that. And, of course, next up on the outdoors calendar is in October, a lot of the Carolina streams get stocked with the three different species of trout for the delayed harvest.
That's right. Equal amounts of rainbows and brooks and then a few less browns in 30-some streams, ponds, and reservoirs around North Carolina, all stocked on the delayed harvest program, meaning it's catch and release from the 1st of October to the first Saturday in June.
The voice right there, Don Yeager. The voice right here, Bill Bartee, the outdoor guys from Jesse Brown's here on the Carolina Outdoors. Don, I was able to sneak off and do a little bit of a scouting mission, if you will, but without a rod, without a reel, I went over to South Mountain State Park with my family. I logged some of it in on the Jesse Brown's social media pages, Instagram and Facebook. We invite you to follow us there. But I did the waterfall hike. And, of course, down at the lower sections of the Jacob Fork is the delayed harvest water. They have that nice equestrian center, a lot of trails there. They stock that part of the stream. But on the hike up to High Shoals Falls, and you know what? I'm getting a little bit out of shape because there's a lot of uphill to get to the top of the falls.
That's about 45 minutes on the Stairmaster right there, if I recall.
I was doing some huffing and puffing, but also Duke the Shop Dog from Jesse Brown's was with me. He was doing a little bit of huffing and puffing himself.
Good news is there's lots of trees to lean on while you catch your breath on that trail.
There's a lot of people skinny dipping out there in that water, or they had their bathing suits, but it's more fun to say skinny dipping than swimming. So they were doing all of that. But I bring all that up because the water levels looked healthy. When it gets dry, that waterfall gets pretty...
a little trickly.
It gets a little trickly. Yeah. But this week and right now, there's plenty of water in that stream and coming off the waterfall. So if you're a hiker, it's a good place to go. 45 minutes on the Stairmaster worth of exercise. They got a nice loop trail there and a bunch of other trails there, but the water levels look good for the fishermen.
Did you go upstream from the falls?
Just a little bit.
Did you go to where the old home site is and the apple tree is and so forth?
No, but that sounds like a good place for the next time.
A lot of times you can see deer this time of year around those apple trees and things, so, you know, they love that abundance.
How much further up is that from the waterfall?
Another half hour at least.
Ooh, yep. I didn't make it that far, but yep. I like apples. I wonder if they'd share.
Probably not.
Probably not is right. Listen, we'd like to thank all of our guests for joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors. Rich Dayleader, the leader of the trail, the Pacific Crest Trail for 2019 and Sabbatical Trek. He came on and told us about the 1,600 miles of the 2,600 miles, including a 31-plus mile day that he accomplished, and he's going to go back in 2020 to knock out the other 1,000 miles. Also, special thanks to Joel Davis for joining us. He is a storyteller at the September 19th event at Jesse Brown's. He's also the founder of Finish the Wall. And lastly, Wes Lawson joined us, GM at Jesse Brown's, and travel specialist, talking to us a little bit about outfitting properly for mission trips. For TJ Boggs, he's Don Yeager. I'm Bill Barty. Get outdoors, pick up your trash. We'll see you next time right here on the Carolina Outdoors.